Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is David Lee of Prevent Connect, and I am pleased this afternoon to be able to talk to Reverend Bill Eichhorn of the Community Congregational Church of Tiburon in California. Glad to be able to speak with you, Bill.
Glad to talk to you, David.
And what we're going to be talking about today is some of the work that you have been doing with the Marin Faith Communities Nonviolence Project. Can you describe what this project is?
It's a project aimed at trying to involve a wide spectrum of faith leaders and faith communities in Marin County. It's supporting and helping them to develop practices of prevention that are effective and practical.
You know, it's so important that faith communities are involved in the prevention of domestic violence and sexual violence and other forms of violence against women. Can you talk about why you believe that faith communities can make an important contribution to this?
For one thing, the pastors and rabbis and ministers and other leaders of faith communities have access to people and nonprofit organizations that have in their value structure peace, justice, the promotion of values that respect human life. We feel as though, as many others who've been involved in this project, that the faith communities are kind of an untapped resource for prevention efforts. And the kind of values that the project represents are totally in line with the values that the faith communities hold dear.
I really think that the faith community is an important asset for communities that will be necessary for really building effective prevention. Bill, why don't you talk about in Marin how this work developed and some of the work that you've been able to do?
It was pretty basic community organizing strategy because, first of all, my wife Ann and I were the coordinators of the project. We're both ordained Protestant ministers and had lived here a long time, know a lot of people in the community. So we recruited some people to be on a steering committee and developed basically an approach that took us to the Marin Interfaith Council, which is an active interfaith group that has an executive director and has a structure and programs and, more importantly, monthly meetings and a clergy luncheon. And so we used all of those entry points to alert people and invite people into the project. And the end goal, the outcome that we wanted, was an all-day workshop that would involve faith leaders and representatives of faith communities in learning and developing plans, strategies for what they could do in their congregation to prevent sexual assault and domestic violence. Pretty basic local community organizing.
What I find really interesting about the work you do is that you really focused on what are those policies and the procedures within faith communities can be able to work towards prevention. Can you talk about how you were trying to advance that work around policy work for prevention?
In the workshop, when we brought people together in the all-day training, we presented a whole spectrum of activities and strategies that congregations could use, all the way from having the faith leader preach a sermon about domestic violence to educational events in the life of the congregation that would begin to help people understand the realities of domestic violence, and then all the way up to changing practices in the congregations and in the faith communities in terms of how issues of sexual assault and domestic violence are dealt with, and then policy. People could take steps around policies. And one of the things that we had a good response to was the safe church policy, which most congregations and faith communities now have to have in place a policy statement about how to deal with child abuse and child endangerment. Right alongside of that, not as well known, is the policy around, well, what would you do in a congregation if a clergy person or a faith leader or someone in the congregation is either a victim of domestic violence or a perpetrator? And so we had examples of safe church policies as well as examples of other kinds of practices and procedures that the congregation could study and hopefully adopt.
When you were doing this work with the Marin Faith Communities Nonviolence Project, can you describe your relationship with the domestic violence organization in that community?
Marin Abuse Women's Services, as it was formerly known, now the Center for Domestic Peace, has had for the last 10 or 15 years a relationship with several congregations and faith communities within Marin County. And so the Domestic Violence Agency itself had a very keen interest in expanding and building on that relationship. So, you know, we got a lot of support from the Domestic Violence Agency. And one of the things that helped support that was we were able to purchase a number of excellent video resources from Faith Trust Institute. And after utilizing those in the workshop, we were able to house those in the media library of the Marin Interfaith Council. And it's also available for use in training sessions that the Domestic Violence Agency uses. A very reciprocal and open relationship between the Marin Interfaith Council and the Center for Domestic Peace.
As you look at the work that you and others in Marin County have been doing, what would you consider some of the successes of that effort?
For one thing, the presentations that we made, for example, at the Marin Interfaith Council, clergy luncheons, the one-on-one conversations we were able to have with faith leaders, a number of them didn't really know very much about the Center for Domestic Peace. So I think one impact, one outcome was a greater awareness in the faith community of the resources of the Center for Domestic Peace. I think another outcome was the workshop, which was well attended, and we were able to have a number of faith communities who reported back that they had developed either, if not policy change, had changed some of their practices and certainly some of their educational activities within the congregation, all the way from study groups to using the videos to sermons. One of the outcomes was the recognition by some faith leaders that domestic violence is the number one crime in Marin County in terms of felonies. I think we broke through some of the denial in the faith community that, well, this isn't an issue here in Marin County. And I think some people came to the realization, yes, it is. It's a serious problem.
The opportunity for creating more change. Anything else we want to say about the work that you've been doing in Marin County?
Most of the congregations and faith communities in Marin are relatively small. Some of the turnover of faith leaders is fairly rapid. And so one of the frustrations is that you get somebody who's an advocate, you get somebody who's trained, then they leave. The person who follows in that leadership position may or may not be interested in sexual assault and domestic violence prevention activities. So it's a challenge to sustain the ongoing work with some of the smaller faith communities.
Thank you for taking the time, and really pleased to hear the work I have been familiar with and have had the opportunity to work with you on several efforts over the years, and really believe that faith communities are an important part of the solution of creating healthy communities, healthy families, and healthy individuals.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you, David, and I would just emphasize one other thing, and that was that this would not have been nearly as effective or possible if it hadn't been for the partnership that was so readily embraced on both sides. The Marin Interfaith Council was very eager to move on this, and the Center for Domestic Peace was totally open and willing to engage the faith communities. And as you know, in some communities, that kind of openness to one another is not always there and can be quite a barrier. So we were very fortunate here, and any success we had was in large part due to that kind of relationship.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.